Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. Indeed, it's good to be here again with the brothers and sisters in the Lord. Just really appreciated what was shared there this morning. Reminder that we are part of a greater body, but it's still good to be here with the local body. And this morning I'd like to look at the last part of chapter 6 of Galatians. As we close out Galatians, it's been, I'm not sure how long that we've been going through this, but that's what we'd like to look at this morning as a title, In Christ Alone. I felt like a lot of what Brother Joshua shared here this morning, I'm just going to, in a way, be repeating. However, I felt like a lot of what he shared was speaking to all of us, but was speaking to those that don't have a right relationship with the Lord. And more of the line of what I'll be sharing here, I believe, is for us that know the Lord, but need to be encouraged to take further steps with Him. And as usual, I find myself sharing things that I sometimes struggle with myself. And that's always sometimes hard to share, because I know that I am dealing with some of the same issues, and if you knew my life, you would know that I struggle too. And so often in the past, I know it's easy for me to think somebody that's getting up front sharing has it all together. Well, that's not true. But we do have the Lord Jesus, and that's the thing that we have in common. It's amazing how studying God's Word does that. It convicts us. Let's bow our heads for prayer. And let me see. Brother Jordan, would you lead us out in prayer, please? Amen. I was doing a devotional a few weeks ago, and it really kind of summed up my thoughts on this last part of Galatians. And I'd like if you could open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20, verse 25. Exodus 20:25, and some of these same thoughts are in Deuteronomy 27:5 and Joshua 8, 30 and through 31, but we're going to just look at this verse this morning. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Now there's a lot in there, but basically what he was saying in that verse, that God's altar was not to be crafted by man, but was to be built of unhewn stone, so that no human trace or skill or labor might be seen upon it. Human wisdom delights to trim and arrange the doctrines of the cross into a system more artificial and more congenial with the depraved tastes of fallen nature. Instead, however, of improving it when we do that, the gospel becomes, or with the carnal wisdom, pollutes it until it becomes another gospel and not the truth of God at all. Man's heart is very proud. And we think that we can put it together. And we think that we can figure it out. And we think that if we do this or if we do that, then we've got it and we're all set. We can conjure up all types of things or ways to convince ourselves that we got it together. The truth is the work on the cross is what was final and brings us to a saving salvation. God sent his son Jesus to shed that perfect blood for our redemption. There is nothing we can do to make it better, no matter how hard we try. If we try, we end up getting in the way. On here to Galatians, verse 12, Galatians 6, verse 12, as many as desire to make a fair shew in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. This is what was happening here in the book of Galatians. The Judaizers were trying to get the people circumcised so that they could make themselves look good. When we cannot accept the work of Christ for our salvation, that really is unbelief. And we cannot find true relief from our sins because we mar the work that he has done. I think possibly the Judaizers here, they thought they were doing something really good. They probably meant well. But adding to the requirement of salvation just was not acceptable then and is not acceptable today. It's one of the areas where I think we as Anabaptists can get mixed up very easy. Because we do believe the New Testament, and we should believe the New Testament. And we do things that are taught in the New Testament, and we should do things that are taught in the New Testament. But we must believe that salvation comes fully and completely by the work of Jesus' death on the cross. When we fully understand that, who we are without Christ, and that our salvation comes through repentance and in Christ alone, we then can do what we do out of an obedience and out of a love for our Savior. As Anabaptists, we must hold on to those teachings and doctrines in the New Testament, but we cannot get everybody looking and dressed the way we think that they need to look and dress and say, okay, we're all good. I don't think we do that here, but that's a temptation in the Anabaptist churches. What is in your life that is getting in the way of a full relationship with Christ? Our works. What am I trying to do to earn my salvation? That comes very natural because we want to feel good. We want to feel like we're doing a good work. And that is good that we do the right thing. But it cannot get in the way of knowing our salvation is in Jesus. Not that we don't want to stumble. But when we know our salvation is in Jesus and we stumble, what do? We get up. We go to Jesus, and we keep going. But when we forget that, we get up, and we work harder, and we work harder, and we try to make sure that what we're doing is just perfect. And that ain't going to work. So I'm thankful for the understanding that my salvation is in Jesus. And I face some of those same things, where sometimes I'm tempted to work harder, or try to work so that everything is just perfect. And it isn't going to be. And that's why we have the blood. And that's why we have Jesus. Another area is our fears and our worries. Something we all deal with. Fretting and worrying is not of the Lord. And I think we all know that, but we end up doing it so often. Another area that gets in our way with our personal relationship with Jesus is our material possessions. How much time we can spend on our toys, our vehicles, our places. This is a difficult one, has been a difficult one for me for years. How about your family? Yes, our families can become too important if we cannot turn them over to God. We so bad want to try to make everything right for our children, and we do need to give them time, and we do need to be teaching them. However, they ultimately belong to God. And well, they will ultimately have to give an account to God. And I think that's one area of letting go and letting them, or teaching them, that they are becoming, as they get older, they are becoming responsible to God, not to us. And that's a difficult one, to let go of that, but that's very important. I often have to be reminded to cast all my burdens on Jesus because he cares for me and he cares for them. And when I trust Jesus completely, I'm going to trust him with them. And that's a hard one. When to let go, when to give them responsibility before the Lord, but that is very important to do that. That cannot be an excuse for us not to teach them. I'm not saying that. We do have to teach our children, but we need to learn to give them over to the Lord. Appreciate what Brother Josh shared there. There comes a time when each one of them is accountable and responsible before the Lord. And we can push and try to do whatever we want, but they are going to be accountable before the Lord, not before us. How about your job? How important is that to you? If your job was taken away from you today, would you still be able to hang on to Jesus? How about your body? Are you so wrapped up in your body, whatever it might be, there's all kinds of things that we can get wrapped up in our bodies. And then it can get in the way of a personal relationship with the Lord. Let us not allow things to steal a close relationship with Jesus. How do we know when things are getting in our way? When things are getting in our way of our relationship with the Lord. Let's read verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. The cross has been an offense to those who follow a religion of works. To the Jews it was a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles it was foolishness. That's in 1 Corinthians 1:23. That's part of some of the problem that we have with some religions and the way some people look at things. If you're looking to a priest to confess your sins to take them to God, it doesn't work. Or if you're looking to a bishop to tell you what the Bible says instead of reading it yourself, you can learn things, but it's not the same. It doesn't work. Each of us are responsible to be in the Word and to be seeking. The cross is not so much a wooden beam of which the body of Jesus was fastened, but rather a symbol of the entire work of redemption that Jesus' death on the cross accomplished. Our boast, like Paul, must be in God's redeeming grace, which was gloriously displayed on the cross when Jesus was crucified. Are you glorying in the cross? Are you boasting in Jesus? Are you boasting in something that you're doing? Are you wrapped up in what you're doing? Are you wrapped up in what Jesus did? Galatians 6:15, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. As a new creature, things should not be so important to me that my mind is fully consumed with them, or what I think that it takes so much of my time. Appreciated some of the messages that Brother Melvin has been speaking about our thoughts. That's so important. Our thoughts can tell more about us than what we might understand. Our thoughts will head us in a direction. And if it's material things, that's what we'll be into until the Lord takes them away from us. And then it might shake us up and should shake us up. If we spend too much time reading or listening to the news, entertaining yourself with all kinds of things, sports, fishing, hunting, social media, YouTube, playing games, vacation, and you know what you struggle with, you know what is taking up a lot of your time, I can assure you that you probably are not spending as much time in the Word if those things are first and foremost in your life. And the Word most likely is not as important to you as it should be. I have a paper that I have two brothers here are going to be handing out. While they're handing them out, could we sing song number 871? And why don't we stand to do that? I have 60 copies of these papers, so there's enough there for all the children.
Thank you.
What does a new creature look like? If you've given your heart to the Lord and you belong to Jesus, you're a new creature. And one of the things that I too often fail is to live like that. I'm too often consumed with the things around me, too often worried about what's going to happen next, too often tired, too often stressed out. But new creatures, we shouldn't be stressed out. We shouldn't be tired. Well, we do get tired, but we should be looking to the Lord. And what I have here is a list of, for those of us that have worked through this, are His, this is what we are. I'd like to start out there. Notice the first one is repentance, acknowledging of one's sins against God. And I appreciate what Brother Joshua shared there. There's many churches today, many bodies, people, many believers, supposedly believers, that are coming together, and they completely miss the repentance piece. This is when you realize that you need help and acknowledge you cannot fix yourself. You realize how wicked you really are without a Savior. By the way, that's also for us that already know. We have to realize daily who we are without Christ. Because when we think that we have it all together and we forget who we were, then is when we oftentimes fall. We don't dwell on that. We don't sulk about that, because that's not who we are today. But we still need to, or sometimes we still fail and still need to repent. Conversion, a changed life from self and for God. This we spoke of earlier, are the things you know have too great a place in your life and must be turned over, because you are now a new creature. Baptism, a public acknowledgement and confession of new life in Christ. This is something that should be taking place almost immediately after repentance. Without it, we do not realize how it hinders our life and how disobedient we are being to God's commandment to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. There's a whole big thing to go into on that, and I'm not going to go into that. I do not believe that baptism in itself is what saves us. But I do believe that God is asking for that, and it's very important that we do it. Regeneration, a change of nature, a change from God. God changes our nature. We can and should be walking in a new joyful way when we are regenerated. Adoption, change of family into God's family. We have several families here who have adopted children. And we get a little more of the realization of what that means. When adopted into a new earthly family, we have new parents that love us and want what is best for us. When we're adopted into God's family, we are under new management and must be in obedience to what God wants, for He always knows what's best for us. Justification, a change of standing before God. This one is really, really important. They're all important, but just as though we never sinned. Do we think of that? Do we think of what that means? This must happen because sin cannot enter the kingdom of God. If we're hanging on to sin, we don't want to be there. What a joy and peace when we understand this. This is almost past what I can imagine or think. Sanctification, a growing change of service unto God. Sanctification means the state of being sanctified, purified, or made holy. Conformity, of the heart and life to the will of God. There's another kind of a generic meaning of sanctification, the state of proper functioning. To sanctify someone or something is to set that person or thing apart for the use intended by its designer. We use different things all the time. We don't use an automobile to vacuum our house. We don't use different tools for the things they're not intended for. When we are growing in our sanctification, we're more and more using and being what God intended us for. It takes a lifetime, and it is completed at the next one, glorification. A change of place to be with God. Glorification happens when we have completed the work in this life and are placed in the presence of God. This truly is a complete work of God and will take place for all those who have become a new creature in and through Christ. If you have given your heart to Him, you are a new creature. Let's praise the Lord. Let's be thankful. Let's be grateful. Satan will tell you all the bad things you are or were. And we've got to keep our eyes on Jesus and thank Him because we are not that anymore. I admit, sometimes I still feel like that, but that's not what I am because of Jesus. We end with God in heaven. We start out, what did I say there? Start out against God, we end up with and for God in heaven. That's a new creature. That's what we're called to. 16, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. The term according to this rule refers to the principle Paul stated in verse 14. Salvation is entirely by means of the reconciling work of Jesus on the cross. Accepting this doctrine of justification by grace alone, you can experience the peace and mercy of God. That's why we too often don't have the peace. Either we're not looking to the right place, or our works get in our way. Lord, help us find the peace that can only be given by trusting in You alone. Verse 17, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Most Christians in America have very few scars due to their living for Jesus Christ. Too often Christianity is tried to be made a popular and a pleasant thing. And, you know, I appreciate Joshua's pretty blunt. There's not much of that preached today in a lot of churches. There is heaven and there is hell. And too often the gospel is presented in a way of just come to Jesus. And we do need to come to Jesus. But what are we coming to Jesus for? We're coming to Jesus for salvation. We're acknowledging there is sin. And that's why we're coming to Jesus, because with sin, with our sin, we can't do anything to get us out of hell, but Jesus can. Too many followers of Christ today are battle scared instead of battle scarred. Am I scared? Am I scared of what somebody might think of me if I take a stand? If I look different, if I speak different, if I act different. We must first know and walk close to the Lord, and then we can do battle for Him. Some people run out and try to do battle for the Lord, but they don't even know what they're saved from. It doesn't work. Galatians 6:18, brethren, The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Paul now concludes with a prayer that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with the Christians in the Galatian church. What a prayer and a blessing that God's grace would be with them. When it's all said and done, we must understand that it is God's grace that is what will take us to heaven. May we experience God's grace in our spirits today. And if you don't, go to Him. Take to Him whatever it is that's in the way and find that peace that you can experience in a saving knowledge and a joy knowing that when He comes back, you will hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Thank you.